welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. Chances are your draft is coming up very soon, which is why we have a podcast today. We're going to talk draft strategies, guys who are overvalued and undervalued, maybe a hot take or two. My name is John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at Pro Football Weekly. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined in studio. We've got the full crew. We've got Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how are you doing today?
Excellent. First fantasy draft tonight, so I'm so glad of the timing for this podcast. I plan on kind of leeching a little bit of insider info from the two of you.
All right. Hopefully we can help you out. And we've got JC Talon, Pro Football Weekly fantasy football expert. JC, how you doing?
Ruin your draft, Arthur. You know that. So it's great to be here.
All right, guys, let's get right to it. Let's talk draft strategies. What's your favorite? What do you typically target? Are you a zero RB guy? JC, let's start with you. When it comes to your fantasy draft, what's your general strategy?
Well, you know, I've been doing this a lot longer than anybody else in this room, and I've seen all the different strategies. And early on, I could tell you, this is how long I've been doing it. The first player I ever drafted was Warren Moon, and he was just getting going with the run and shoot down in Houston. That's how long I've been doing this. And I've seen – so quarterbacks used to go first. Then it, for a long time, it was running back after running back. You know, I guess I'm really not into any strategy. I would say always try to buy low wherever you find value, whether it's a running back or a wide receiver. I think it's becoming more – apparent that a quarterback in the first round probably isn't a great idea unless you've got one who really stands out, and I don't think we do this year. I'd probably be looking at the best player available, running back and wide receiver. And I still think running backs are valuable, obviously, but they do get hurt a lot and it is riskier. So I certainly wouldn't argue with the zero RB strategy, but if a good running back's available when I pick, I'm taking a running back.
Arthur, it's kind of amazing. This is a quarterback-driven league, and yet when it comes to fantasy, nobody's really reaching for a quarterback in the first round. What's your general strategy when it comes to your fantasy draft? What are you doing tonight?
I'll tell you what I'm not going to do, and that's draft Roberto Aguayo in round two. I can confidently tell you guys that. I'm obviously not going to draft a kicker until the final round of the draft. But in all seriousness, the lack of quarterback presence at the top of the fantasy drafts really around the country, I think we're going to see it around the world. It just speaks to the depth at the position and the small disparity between, well, Cam Newton kind of was the exception to the rule last year. I think he outscored Tom Brady, the number two guy, by about 45 points. But typically you're not going to see a huge discrepancy, and I think that's why people tend to wait. That's what I'm going to do, much like JC here. I'm going to focus on pass catchers early, and this is kind of boring. I apologize if the listeners are falling asleep, but I like high ceiling guys. I like high floor guys with consistency early, particularly pass catchers. I would like to see myself get a running back. I'd like to get my RB1 in the first three or four rounds for sure, and maybe sandwich him between a couple of really good pass catchers.
So I am all on board with the zero RB strategy. I tried it out last year. It worked out pretty well. I'm going with it again this year. And some big reasons. Some top five fantasy running backs from last year. Devonta Freeman, D'Angelo Williams, Todd Gurley. All of them finished in the top five of scoring. All were drafted no earlier than your fifth round. Freeman was probably an 11th or 12th round pick. A lottery ticket, essentially. Thomas Rawls was a top 10 fantasy running back. He was a waiver wire pickup. David Johnson was probably a late round flyer. I mean, that's more than half of the top 10 guys at running back. And they were all late picks or waiver wire guys last year.
John, humor our listeners. A zero RB strategy, is that just what it sounds like? In your entire draft, there will be no running backs?
Not in the entire draft.
Okay, so at what point do you say I can start and delve into the backfield?
I'm looking probably eighth round.
Okay,
is when I'm looking to take probably my first running back. So yeah, zero RB does not mean you are not taking a running back for your entire draft.
Just for clarity.
But, totally for clarity. but if you're going to try out a zero RB strategy, I would wait till the eighth round to take a running back and fill out your wide receiver spots. The point here is that running backs go bust a little bit more often than wide receivers. They get hurt more. I want stability at the top of my draft. It's a passing league. That means wide receivers.
Well, I would just say I think if I may be so bold to disagree, eighth round seemed really late to me, because what are you going to have if maybe one quarterback and seven receivers?
I'll fill in my tight end spot in there too.
Okay, so you'll have six receivers. So here's what I would say. Look, you got to get a run. You don't want to wait too long on a running back, because there are going to be some guys who don't get hurt and do produce. But certainly it's a riskier proposition than a real solid wide receiver. So I could see waiting on the running backs. But I would also encourage people, if value's there, take it. If you're drafting in the fourth round and Lamar Miller's still there,
I'm taking Lamar
take
Miller.
Lamar Miller, yes. Right? Yes. I mean, so – yeah, but I get where you're coming from, and it worked for you last year. And the thing is, I would also say if that becomes the mentality of the average owner, then I would go the other way. Then I would start – I'd load up on running backs because that's where the value is going to be. But I think we're still – you've got enough people that value running backs that I think waiting on your running backs probably is still a pretty good strategy.
And just one interesting thing on running backs, at least I found it interesting, and I hope everyone's going to pick up the latest Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football insert this week. You can find it in the Sun-Times, the Northwest Herald, Daily Herald, all kinds of papers around the state and nationally, actually.
Albuquerque,
that is correct. So I just was interested to see that some of the most consistent backs over the past 3 or 4 years have some – either they're gone or there's some extra volatility when you're talking about Marshawn Lynch, of course, retired, Jamal Charles, second ACL tear, and then Matt Forte at the dreaded age of 30 and now on the Jets. So I think that maybe people are going to be more comfortable because now they've seen Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., Julio Jones all dominate for 2 or 3 years, and I think maybe owners are going to find comfort in that, and perhaps that kind of lends itself to this no zero RB approach you're talking about.
Yeah, one last point I'll make on that is that and JC brought it up here. Don't be stupid. Zero RB is contrarian, but you can be contrarian without being stupid. If Lamar Miller's there in the fourth round, don't be stupid. Take it.
Right.
So that's sort of the point that I'm making. Let's move on. We're going to go over a couple guys that at this point we think are overvalued and a few that are being undervalued. So, JC, I want to start with you. Who are some guys that you think are overvalued at this point in fantasy drafts?
Well, I went and looked at a sort of an aggregation of fantasy experts and looked at where they're ranked. I was surprised to see Jamal Charles in the top 20. I would be very careful with that. He's a boomer bust guy, but he's susceptible to injuries. He weighs about 180 pounds soaking wet. I think that's a risky pick. Jordy Nelson, I'm nervous. 2 knee injuries. Still is just now doing drills. He was also in the top 20. I think that's too high. I would not risk it that high. So those were 2 that popped out at me.
Arthur, how about some overvalued guys in your view?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trashing Thomas Rawls all offseason, so I don't know why it stopped now. And actually, you have seen his ADP fall a little bit. He is the 14th average running back off the board in these early stages of fantasy drafts. But to me, that's still too high. I'm kind of drinking the Kristen Michael Kool-Aid for, what, the 6th or 7th time now.
Are you a C. Mike truther?
And I was last year when he was with the Cowboys before he even got back to Seattle and had that late season flourish. But, you know, it's just a crowded situation. People really like what they've seen from Alex Collins. C.J. Procise just got healthy. And as John has said on this podcast before, the Seahawks are trending now more toward a passing team. Maybe not a pass-first team, but certainly there's less of an imbalance there. So Rawls kind of scares me a little bit. I won't be picking him up in any leagues, I don't think. And Kelvin Benjamin, I don't know. He's coming off the injury. Devin Funchess, I really like the way he ended last season. Greg Olsen is Mr. Consistency. And Ted Ginn, he's a boomer bust and always will be, but the way he ascended last year, I just wonder if Benjamin is now going to return to really an altered pass-catching landscape and still expect to see the type of volume targets that he did before the injury.
To hammer home your Thomas Rawls point, Russell Wilson threw the ball 100 more times last year than he did in his rookie season. I mean, that's a number that stands out.
And his production went up something like 20% after Graham got injured. And that just really changed the whole offense. And I think that probably will continue this year.
I'll throw out one more guy I think is slightly overrated. Alshon Jeffrey, currently wide receiver number 10 going off the board.
Yep.
With his history of injuries, I'm not sold.
Yeah, I almost had him on my list too. On the other hand, if he did stay healthy, he might actually come in at that value. So it's risky.
I have Alshon as my WR8. I'm just throwing that out there. I he looks like kind of a different guy in a contract year, and I don't know. I mean, fool me once, whatever they say about that. Mm-hmm. But I think there may be an opportunity with Alshon. He's a guy I will be targeting.
All right, Arthur, who are some guys that are underrated in your view?
Yeah, I mean, there a couple of them are already household names. I guess the one that really jumps out to me is Frank Gore, RB27 ADP right now. Even in that dumpster fire of a Colts offense last year without Andrew Luck, Frank Gore was an RB1. He was 12th overall. So how The offensive line improves. Luck comes back, and he totally plummets in terms of value. I don't see that at all. Gore, I know he's 33, and say what you will about that age for backs, but Gore is a guy that I am very, very intrigued by.
And the Colts really don't have any depth whatsoever, guys. Right. I mean, it's Andrew Luck, as long as he's healthy, things are going to go just fine in the Colts offense. But Josh Ferguson was supposed to be this, you know, magical guy who can maybe take away Frank Gore's job. He's been terrible in the preseason. T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief, Philip Dorsett, and then Andre Johnson. I mean, he's toast. And after, if he's your number four wide receiver, any depth past that. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on Frank Gore.
Well, and if they're looking for depth at running back, I hear Trent Richardson is out there. They could pick him up.
I think they tried that once.
Plug him in.
Guys, it's not flashy, but running backs don't stay on the field unless they can protect their quarterback. And the whole focus of the Colts offseason has been protecting Andrew Luck, now the richest quarterback in NFL history. Gore's going to be on the field a ton. Like you said, it's just Robert Turbin. And I would say don't write off Josh Ferguson. It's much too soon. I really like the undrafted rookie out of Illinois, but again, it's much too soon.
Arthur, anybody else that's undervalued?
Yeah, I like Marvin Jones a lot, too. Yes. ADP of 38 right now. I think he came in at the WR39 last year, and look at what's happened to his situation. Yeah. He is going to be looked to as the guy to replace Calvin Johnson. I really like the way that his skill set complements Golden Tate, and I think it's all in front of Jones. This is the first time he's going to be looked at as the guy.
JC, who's undervalued in your view?
Well, I look at Eddie Lacy at number 23. Remember last year he came off the board first in a lot of leagues. He was overweight and he underperformed, but this year he's in great shape. Maybe he's not worthy of number one or maybe not even first round, but he's better than number 23. And I'm a little surprised that C.J. Anderson is coming in at number 30. This is a guy who's the clear number one. I know they drafted a rookie, but C.J. Anderson is going to get the bulk of the carries. He played great in the second half of last year. I like him. I also saw Doug Baldwin at number 50. That seems low. I know Tyler Lockett's going to get some more looks this year, but I think that Baldwin is going a little low. And then one that I thought was interesting, Tony Romo, of the aggregation stats I was looking at, was rated the number 14 quarterback. I think he's better than that. He is a tremendous risk from an injury perspective. I mean, two broken collarbones in 1 year. That doesn't get much worse than that. But if you're looking for a backup, if you wait a long time for your first quarterback and Romo's out there as your backup, that could be a lot of upside if he stays on the field.
Yeah, I kind of like that. A couple guys that I'm going to throw out that are underrated, it kind of spoils my hot take, but Sammy Watkins is currently wide receiver number 15 going off the board. LeSean McCoy, JC's boy from last year, number 12 going off the board at running backs. I've got them both 10th on my list. So I think there's plenty of value. I think that might spoil my hot take a little bit, but I really like Sammy Watkins and LeSean McCoy in Buffalo's offense. I'll get to why a little bit later. A couple of really, really deep guys. I mean, this is end of your draft type stuff, but I think that they are still too low is Will Fuller at wide receiver number 65. He's starting in the Texans' offense. The Texans run more plays than anybody. Brock Osweiler is not afraid to throw, and he can't throw it all to DeAndre Hopkins. And if Will Fuller is your number two, you know, it's the 65th wide receiver off the board, he should be at least 10 spots higher. And Rishard Matthews, I know it's Tennessee's offense. They're going to run the ball 500 times, but he's still the number one wide receiver in the Titans' offense, and he's going 68th off the board among wide receivers.
John, you're not drinking the Tajay Sharpe Kool-Aid.
I love Tajay Sharpe, too. I like both of them. I think both are undervalued. I know that the Tennessee's offense is going to be, you know, straight out of the 1980s, but I really do like both of those guys.
It's going to be a fun offense to watch, and just because you mentioned Tennessee and another guy that's overvalued, DeMarco Murray, I would be so much more comfortable spending a pick a few rounds later on Derrick Henry. Anyone who watched his preseason, the guy is a man-child, and I just can't wait to see what he does in meaningful games in a couple weeks.
I think Henry overtakes Murray at some point. You know, for DFS purposes, I'm probably rostering DeMarco Murray early on. He's very undervalued as his price. All right, let's move into one bold call for the season. We're going to lead off with mine because I like mine. I spoiled it a little bit earlier, but I think Tyrod Taylor is a top five fantasy quarterback this season.
Wow.
He was top six in points per game last season when he was healthy. He ran for more than 40 yards in 9 games. I know they still want to run the ball, but given all of their injuries, and frankly, Rob Ryan's defense has underperformed pretty badly in recent years, no matter where he's been, I think Tyrod's going to be forced to throw more. Buffalo struggled a lot in the red zone last season. I don't see that continuing. They were statistically just – it was an outlier. They are going to naturally come back and just score more touchdowns when they're in the red zone. So I've got Tyrod Taylor as a top five fantasy quarterback this season. Anybody hate it?
You got a lot of Bills love going there.
I do. It's strange.
Yeah, it is strange. I think they're the 27th ranked offense last year. I like Tyrod Taylor. I think you love having a dual threat quarterback in fantasy. I'm just concerned. They've had mostly on the defensive side of the ball, but they have incredible number of injuries in Buffalo. So it'll be interesting. I could see that one going either way, though.
I like him. He was number two rushing among all quarterbacks behind Cam Newton. I just worry a little bit. In addition to all the defensive injuries, Cordy Glenn has missed most of the offseason after getting the huge deal, and I don't really know who he throws to. I mean, Charles Clay better have a way bigger role in that offense because I just don't see much that excites me after Sammy Watkins, and he's a bit of a dice roll at this point.
All right, JC, do you have a hot take or a bold call for us?
You know, I still think Ezekiel Elliott is going to be the best running back in fantasy football. I've watched both preseason games from Dallas, and I understand it's preseason, but they have looked sharp. And I think with Tony Romo back, they'll be a more balanced team. They probably have the best line in football. And I think as long as he's supposed to come back and play on Thursday night, as long as he's healthy, I could really see him being a fantasy force.
I'm very interested to see him play Thursday night.
I hope Ezekiel Elliott's going to avoid any other one interesting story in addition to the hamstring injury he's dealing with. As there was a report that says they're going to come to a conclusion on whether to pursue charges in a domestic assault allegation in Ohio. So just keep an eye on that. I want to see whatever the truth come out. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see. But one more element to keep an eye on with Ezekiel Elliott. I have a couple darlings from last year, probably won a lot of leagues for a lot of people, Doug Baldwin and Devontae Freeman. I believe the young guns are going to outpace both of them in Tevin Coleman and Tyler Lockett. I like Baldwin and Freeman. I just don't view them as consistent week winners in fantasy football. And I think that you're going to see youth prevail in both of those situations.
So Freeman was a guy I struggled with last year. I've spoken about this on a couple of our podcasts now. I didn't believe in the talent. Mm-hmm. I am trying to not make that mistake this year, so I think I'm on board with Freeman outpacing Tevin Coleman. And given how Tyler Lockett's been used so far, I'm really questioning Pete Carroll in Seattle because Lockett's talent, I think we all agree, is undeniable. But he's not, at least in the preseason, I know it's preseason, he has not been on the field for the same number of snaps as Doug Baldwin.
It's interesting. I haven't been paying a ton of attention to what's going on in the preseason there because, for me, that's one of those teams where just get them to the regular season and see what happens. And I think Doug Baldwin only has 3 targets and 2 catches. I thought I saw that this morning. So we'll see. But I can't forget about all the other offseason love of, Tyler Lockett's going to be much more involved in this offense. And just watching, you know, JC correctly pointed out that Jimmy Graham going down was right around the time that Russell Wilson started to ascend. It was also as Tyler Lockett gotten more involved in the offense. So I can't imagine they'd go away from it.
I just saw Pete Carroll quoted as saying that Lockett was going to be in the center of everything, I think was the exact quote. And I also think you got to be very careful with Seattle in the preseason because Pete Carroll is a player's coach and he's not playing anybody, doesn't have to. He's not showing any of his cards. So I like Lockett. I like Baldwin too. I think they're both going to produce.
All right, let's close out the podcast today. One sleeper to take to your draft weekend, which may be coming up very soon. We're all going to give you one sleeper to take to your draft weekend and why. JC, who is your sleeper?
Well, I had a bunch of them, but I want to go with the one that's probably the least well-known of the group I have here, since we're really looking for sleepers. Zach Zenner, running back, Detroit. I think he's probably better. He's definitely more suited to be an every down back than the starter in Detroit. I think he'll get an opportunity for sure. Amir Abdullah is not only undersized, he's not really that fast. He's really not cut out to be an every down back. And I think Zenner was on his way to being first string last year, and then he got hurt with the ribs. There should be no lingering effects from that. So that's a guy I would definitely look at later in your draft.
I have seen some other bold calls that Amir Abdullah will not be the top scoring running back for Detroit. So I like that. That's a good sleeper. Arthur, who's your sleeper?
I like that too. Zenner's a good player. Also keep an eye on the 7th rounder. DeAndre Washington is one of the biggest, fastest men you will see running around in the NFL. has impressed in the preseason. The one I would point out, DeAndre Washington in Oakland, I know everyone's talking about him, the fifth rounder out of Texas Tech. It's as much because I don't believe in Latavius Murray as I do at this point in Washington, but I think the style of offense that is going to work best for the Raiders is a wide open attack, and Washington is clearly the guy that fits that mold. So you can get him definitely later in your draft and has a chance to become a real big part of what's one of the real upstart offenses in the NFL. And just a bonus one, because everyone's ripping on Austin Seferian Jenkins, the headlines everyone remembers in the past month or two, kicked out of practice, demoted. Well, he's got his number one gig back right now, and that's another offense that's going to push it downfield and is going to give him opportunities with guys like Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson on the perimeter.
So I want to go back to the Raiders for a second, because I think everything I've read, there is a wide spectrum of people who are saying that it's Latavius Murray is the guy, he has to be the guy. And then I've seen other things where Amari Cooper maybe outside the top 20 guys, maybe. I don't know if that's just some sort of hot takes of people trying to get some clicks, but Arthur, it's interesting that maybe not a believer in Latavius Murray.
No, I mean, we saw him here at Soldier Field last year pretty much give a game away with his fumbling, and didn't have a lot of ability to run inside despite great size last year. So that situation should be improved because you bring in Kelechi Osemele and the offensive line is so good. But he just seems kind of replaceable to me. And I love Washington's pass catching ability, and I really think that's where Oakland is going to kind of butter its bread this season.
Murray's way too inconsistent, and it's from a fantasy perspective, he's going to drive you crazy. Have a good week, and then he'll just disappear for a couple weeks. So, yeah, I'm with Arthur on that one.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how the Raiders end up from a fantasy perspective and who the studs are. I mean, we know Cooper and Crabtree are great, but they might not be the most consistent with the
what
way
about Clive Walford? This has been a big second-year leap trend in this podcast, and Clive Walford is another guy people probably remember. Oh, he had an ATV accident. Knee injury is concerning. He's catching touchdowns in the preseason, and he's another guy who's going to be a mismatch weapon and may take advantage of all the other weapons in that offense.
He's a red zone guy just like Crabtree, which actually has me worried about Cooper. Because
Seth Roberts, too.
Yeah, I think there are two better red zone options than Amari Cooper on that team, which is crazy because Amari Cooper's a great red zone option.
Yeah, and if we're talking about people with some upside, and Arthur mentioned it before we started the podcast, Devin Funchess in Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
He might actually hold off the Kelvin Benjamin total comeback, you know, train a little bit, because Funchess has looked really strong in preseason so far.
All right, we will close out with my sleeper to take to your draft weekend. I've got a late round tight end, Dwayne Allen. He's out of a timeshare. Kobe Fleener's in New Orleans. I also like Kobe Fleener a heck of a lot. Andrew Luck is healthy. The Colts, as we talked about, have virtually no wide receiver or running back depth. Allen, as of this morning, was the 16th tight end off the board, 153 overall. I'd put him probably 10th tight end off the board. I think that's a guy you can grab late, and I think he's going to be a big part of the Colts offense this year.
If I could comment, I do the tight end preview for Pro Football Weekly's annual magazine. And one thing with Allen, just be careful, he gets injured a lot. All the talent in the world, and I know Indy would like to. They let Fleener walk because they really believe in the guy, but he's got to stay healthy. So if you get Allen, make sure you got a good either backup or somebody in that same range, because he's very injury prone.
I believe in the guy. Big Dwayne Allen fan. I like the pick a lot, and I'll close with this. I think maybe the most fascinating fantasy position this year is tight ends. You may feel like you're in the twilight zone between Dwayne Allen and Jared Cook and
Martellus Bennett.
Just a lot of different type of bizarre situations, but particularly with the guys that have been listed as sleepers before, Seferian Jenkins. It's like, okay, you know, do it or get off the pot. This is like the third year in a row, but I feel like this is the year. Jared Cook in particular, that's a pretty good situation in Green Bay as well.
All right, we will end it there. Thank you so much to Arthur Arkish and JC Talon in studio providing their fantasy analysis. Thanks to our producer, Dan Mott, making us sound fantastic. Good luck in your fantasy drafts this weekend, and we'll see you next time.